Good morning, everyone. To our bilingual uncles and aunties who are tuning in, just want to wish you a very good morning. It is my joy and privilege to be back here to bring you a message from the Lord's Word. It's been more than 1 year since we last came back to church to worship together. The last time we had physical worship was back in February last year. And so fast, it's been more than a year. And even though we have not had the chance to see each other this past 1 year, I just want you to know that you are very much missed, that I'm thinking of each and every one of you, and that you are very much in our prayers. Even though we have not had time to be with each other this 1 year, we have much to be thankful to God for. We thank God for how He has kept us as a country, watching over us and helping us to be able to get through this last 1 year with the virus going on. We thank God for the low number of cases in our country and how our government has done so much to help us. And we just want to continue to commit our faith to Him, to trust Him as we make progress for the rest of the year. God willing, as the vaccine program rolls out in Singapore, we pray and ask that the Lord will continue to watch over us and keep us, and hopefully one day we'll be able to come back to the Lord's house to worship together. Well, as we begin this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we just want to thank You so much for Your grace and Your love upon us this past 1 year. We thank You for Your safekeeping, for Your protection, and for Your provision for each and every one of us. We pray and ask that as we take time to learn Your word this morning, will You help us to hear what You have to say to us? Would You help us to find a deeper appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to respond appropriately? We pray and ask for Your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. These 2 months of messages for March and April, we will be focusing on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Focusing on Jesus is the most appropriate way for us to prepare for the Easter season that's coming up in April. Just to take time to deepen our knowledge of Him, to deepen our appreciation of Him, and to renew our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that we want to do as we begin our series of messages at Bilingual. So for these 2 months, our focus at Bilingual will be on the 7 I Am statements that the Lord Jesus made in the Gospel of John. And we began last week by learning the first I Am statement. And this is where the Lord Jesus said in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst." And it's so wonderful that when we have the Lord Jesus in our life, we can find a great satisfaction in life that nothing else in this world can give. Now today we're going to look at the second I Am statement that the Lord Jesus made concerning Himself in the Gospel of John. And this is found in John 8 verse 12. And here in John 8 verse 12 it reads, "I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And today we're going to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world, how He is the light to the world, and what His light means for us as His believers. And in order to understand the Lord Jesus as the light, we first need to understand what light is. Now, when we speak of light and we think about light, we often think about the sources of light, the things that give light. When we think about the sun that gives light to us every day, we think about the lights in our room. When we wake up in the morning, we turn on the lights. We think about, maybe some of us think about fire. You know, when we think about light. But light is not just understood by where it comes from, but also by what it gives. And one of the things that light gives is this thing called brightness. When light enters a room, it makes the whole place bright. And when the room is bright and is lit up, you know, it just gives a nice feeling to us. It makes a place, you know, there's a nice feeling. It is happy, it is warm, it is cozy. And so when we, in Singapore, when we speak about buying flats, you know, we often want to find a flat that has a lot of light that comes in so that it will make the place bright and so that it makes us feel good. And light does not just bring brightness to a place, but it also brings this thing called clarity. When light enters a room, it makes things clear around us. And you see, when there's no light in the room, when it's dark, you know, it can often be confusing, a place where it's just not nice to be in. You know, we do not know where we are. We do not know where our things are. We do not know what's in front of us as we walk into the room. But when light comes in and it shines and it lightens the room, you know, we are able to see things clearly. We can see where our things are, you know, where we left our spectacles, where we left our handphone. And also, we can see the furniture that's in front of us, which we should avoid hitting. If not, we'll get a bruise on our knees. And this is something which I appreciate when I think about my son and his toys in my house. See, my son, he likes to, sometimes when he plays with all his toys, he leaves them around. He doesn't keep them before he sleeps. And so there are some toys in my room, and when I wake up in the middle of the night and I need to go to the toilet, you know, I walk through in the darkness, and then suddenly I'll step on something really painful, and that will be his toy. And I'll be like, ouch, that's not fun at all. So now I'm a little smarter. I will use the light on my phone to shine the floor so that I know that I'm not going to step on his toys. And you see, this is what light does. It makes things clear. It helps us to see clearly. And the third thing that light does for us is that it gives life. When a living thing is in a dark room, when there's no light for it, it's very hard for the living thing to grow, whether it's a plant or an animal or even us human beings. But when there's light, when a living thing is exposed to light, it's then able to receive the energy, the warmth, its body will respond properly to the light, and it will be able to thrive and grow and to live well. And that is what light does. It brightens up a place, it gives clarity, and it also gives light. And what's amazing and what's wonderful about light is that it always dispels darkness. Darkness in a room will always give way to light. It can never overcome light. The moment you switch on the light in the room, the darkness will straight away go away. It doesn't fade out. It will go away instantly when the light is there. Darkness can never overcome light. Light will always be greater than darkness. And this is what light is. And when we think about light, we understand what Jesus as the light of the world can give to us. He can give us enlightenment, not to make our physical place bright, but to give us brightness in our understanding, in the way we think, in the way we feel. He can give us clarity to be able to understand things, to understand God, to understand life, to understand the problems that are there. And with him, we are able to find life, to find whatever it takes and whatever we need to be able to live well, to be able to live triumphantly. And the Lord Jesus' light will always be there to dispel the darkness that's in the world. The darkness in the world brings about a sense of confusion. It brings about a sense of being lost. It can bring about hopelessness and despair to people. But when the Lord Jesus' light comes in, it will dispel the darkness that is there in the world. And from there, we are able to find the life, the ability to live well with the Lord Jesus' light. And so this is the Lord Jesus as the light of the world. Now the question is, how can Jesus give us light? How can we find this light from the Lord Jesus in our life? And today we're going to look at a story in John chapter 9. And this story in John chapter 9 will help us to see how Jesus gives us light in this world and to dispel the darkness that's in the world. And in John chapter 9, the story is about a man who was born blind and how Jesus healed this man from his blindness. And it is a wonderful story for us to be able to discover and understand the Lord Jesus as the light of the world. So here the story begins in John 9 verse 1. Now here it reads, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth." So this is the setting. Jesus was walking by with his disciples and he sees a man who was born blind from birth. Now we see the first way that the Lord Jesus brings light to the world. And the first way he does it is by his teachings. The Lord Jesus' teachings is able to bring light to us, to help us to be able to see, to understand things, to give us enlightenment in our hearts and our minds. And we see the darkness that's in the world in verse 2. And here, as they saw this blind man in verse 2, his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now here, this question that the disciples asked Jesus reflected the darkness that was inside their understanding. You know, they had a wrong understanding towards the problem of disability. To them, back in the days of Jesus, it wasn't just the disciples that had this problem of wrong understanding. It was everyone in the days of Jesus. Whenever they see someone who had a disability or a deformity, whether it's blindness or lameness or deafness, you know, all these different problems that is in a person's life, the people back then often see it as a punishment from God for their sins. That this must have happened to them because they had a sin problem and this is God's punishment upon them. And may not be their own sin problem, but maybe their parents, right? Their parents did something wrong, so God gave them a child that has this problem. And this was the wrong understanding that the people, and including the disciples, had towards God, towards life, towards the problems that are in people's lives. And we see how Jesus brought light to the disciples through his teachings. In verse 3, he answered them and said, "Neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." And here Jesus was teaching them that this way of understanding problems is not the right way. This man's blindness is not a result of his sin problem or his parents' sin problem. It's not that God was punishing them for their sins by making this man blind, but that God had allowed it to happen so that his plan to reveal his works in this man for everyone to see will be done so. And this was Jesus' teaching to enlighten his disciples' understanding that don't look at God in this way. God is not a God who puts these things upon people because of the sin problems. But sometimes God allows it in his will and his plan, in his wisdom, for his work to be shown and revealed to others. And this was the teaching of the Lord Jesus that gave them light. And you see, this is something that is just is good and it's important for us to understand, because for us today, in the 21st century, we too struggle with our own wrong understanding. Now, this understanding that the disciples had towards people's problems is not very far from how some people in our world understand problems. You know, some people see that when a person has a problem, when something bad happens to someone, they think of it as, oh, this person must have done something wrong. And sometimes as Christians, we too can be influenced by this wrong way of understanding things. We can look at the problems in our life. You know, maybe some new health challenge came about. Maybe some problems came about that we don't expect. And we wonder, you know, is this God's punishment upon me? Is this something that God is allowing to happen because of my sin problems? But when we look at the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, he helps us to see that this is not how God treats us. This is not how God responds to us. God doesn't allow bad things to happen because of our sin problems in this way. But sometimes God allows it to happen in his grand scheme and his grand plan for things to unfold, which sometimes we may not understand at this point. And when we understand the Lord Jesus' teachings for us and it helps us to dispel the wrong understanding, it can give us a sense of peace, comfort, and assurance that we need to be able to look at God properly, to look at life properly, and to look at the challenges that are there with greater understanding. And this is the first way that Jesus brings light, through his teachings. Now, the second way that Jesus brings light for us is through his works. Not only does he bring light through his teaching, but he also brings light through his works. And we see him saying this in verse 4, "I must work the works of him who sent me." In verse 5, "For as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And we see how Jesus understood that he, as the light of the world, is going to bring light through the works that he would do. And in this case, in John 9, the work that he was going to do was to help this blind man to see. And so here in verse 6, as he said these things, he spat on the ground, he made clay, and he anointed the man's eyes with the clay. He told the man, "Go and wash his eyes." In verse 7, the man did so and came back seeing. And this was the work of Jesus in the man's life. He healed this man of his blindness. And Jesus did not just simply did a work to give this man's physical light, but through this work, he helped this blind man to understand that Jesus is truly a man from God. Jesus is a man who has been given special power from God to be able to do something wonderful like this. And this was the understanding and the enlightenment that Jesus gave to this blind man. And we see how this understanding that this blind man had enabled him to fight against the darkness that was in the world. And the darkness was seen very much in the religious leaders whom we call the Pharisees. And so here we see the Pharisees in verse 13. In verse 8, now when the neighbors saw this blind man being healed, you know, they were astounded. They were surprised. And they asked, "Who healed you?" And the man told them, "This man called Jesus healed me." And so the neighbors, they didn't understand how to make sense of this. So they brought him to see the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And so in verse 13, that's what they did. Now in verse 15, the Pharisees, they asked the blind man, "Oh, who healed you?" And the man told them, "It's Jesus." And straight away in verse 16, the Pharisees, what they said about him, about Jesus, was this: "This man is not from God, for he did not keep the Sabbath." Now we see the darkness that was inside the Pharisees. They were just people that were fixed in their mindset against Jesus. They didn't like Jesus. They thought that he was someone who was taking away their authority as religious leaders. They felt that Jesus was making them look bad. And sometimes Jesus will put them down because they did things that were wrong. They felt this way about Jesus. And you know, they didn't like Jesus at all because Jesus was the light that just made them, that made everyone see and expose their darkness. And so when they heard how Jesus healed this blind man, instead of acknowledging his work of healing this blind man, they chose to look at him as a sinner. They saw him as someone who just was bad, someone who was not obeying God's command of keeping the Sabbath. And that was the darkness of the fixed understanding that the Pharisees had towards Jesus. And we see how the darkness in the Pharisees, they tried to put this upon the blind man. Now we go down further to verse 24. So as the Pharisees investigated, you know, they called the blind man back and they wanted the blind man to say this: "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." And what the Pharisees were trying to force this blind man to say was that, "Give God the glory by calling Jesus a sinner. If you say he's a sinner, you'll give him glory." And that was the darkness that was there. They were trying to force the blind man to say this. But when the blind man received the light of the Lord Jesus, You know, it was just so clear to him that the works of Jesus healing his eyes will make it impossible for him to not be a man from God. And so then he told them in verse 25, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, that I was once blind, but now I see. And here it was just so clear to the blind man that Jesus, the work that he did, it just testifies and it validates and confirms that he is a man from God, that he is real, that he is true. And he is not going to be influenced or shaken by the darkness of the Pharisees. And this is a wonderful thing for us to understand and appreciate. And when we think about the works of Jesus, we can recognize how Jesus' works will help us to understand who God is, to understand that the Lord Jesus is real and is true in our life. Sometimes when we look at the world today, some people, they reject Jesus because they don't like Christianity. They think of Christianity as a Western religion. They say that it brings, you know, it will destroy our Chinese culture. It will, you know, it will cause us to be bad. But when we look at the works of Jesus in the lives of people who believe in Jesus, it just becomes clear for us that Jesus is real, that God is true, that Christianity is truly the one true religion which we believe in. Recently, I was just talking to someone who was interested in the Christian faith, and he shared with me what made him consider the reality of Christianity. And he said it was because he saw how his son's life was changed. Now, his son, when the son was growing up, son's a member in our church, and the son was someone who didn't like to study. You know, he would do very badly in his studies. He didn't get to go to good schools. And the son was just, you know, very caught up with playing and not having that kind of attitude towards studying. But when the son came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and became a Christian, he started to see his son's life change. The son became more respectful, became a better son. And not only that, he saw how his son's attitude towards studying changed. Right, from not studying, from not caring about studies, he began to work hard. And he did well in poly. He went on to get a scholarship in university, and he graduated and did well. And today he's having a good job out in the public sector. And to him, it was just so clear that this was God, the Lord Jesus' work in his son's life. And it helps him to see that perhaps Christianity is something for him to consider. And this is how the works of Jesus can help us to understand God. He makes it clear, he enlightens us to see that God is truly real, that Jesus is real. And so this is how Jesus brings light, by his teaching, also by his works. And the final thing, that the final way that the Lord Jesus brings light to us, is by his invitation to believe in him. And so we see, as the blind man started to defend Jesus, started to tell the Pharisees that how can it be possible for a man who is a sinner to heal me? Because no one in this world is able to do that. And this is what he says in verse 30, 31. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of someone who is blind. If this man is not from God, he would not be able to do anything. And so to this blind man, it was so clear, Jesus is truly a man from God. But of course, as he said these things, he made the Pharisees so upset that what they did next was just downright mean. In verse 34, they were angry with him, they scolded him, and they cast him out. Now, this idea of casting him out is not just simply throwing him out of the temple, but it's this idea called excommunication, which means to say that this man will now be marked as a sinner in society. The Pharisees will declare to the public that this man is condemned as a sinner. He will no longer have a place to come back to worship in the temple. And no one should be associating themselves with this man, because if they try to be friends with him, they will also be considered a sinner like him. And that was what the Pharisees did to this man who was blind. They cast him out and they made him an outcast in society. He was condemned, he was outcast, even though he now had the ability to see. But his life was one without hope because of the wickedness and the condemnation of the Pharisees. And this was the darkness that's there in the world. But we see how Jesus brought light to this blind man. In verse 35, now when Jesus heard that he had cast him out, Jesus made the effort, went out of his way to find this man. No one was supposed to associate themselves with this man, but Jesus went out of his way to find him. And as he found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And this blind man answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And inside the heart of this blind man, he wanted to believe in the Son of God. There was no hope for him in this world. He was an outcast. He was condemned by society. There was nothing else for him to live for. But if he could believe in the Son of God, that was something that he wanted for himself. And the Lord Jesus so lovingly, graciously told him. Verse 37, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And that was just such a moving thing for the blind man, that as he heard these words from the Lord Jesus, this former blind man just simply said, "Lord, I believe." And he came before the Lord Jesus and worshipped him. And you see, this is how Jesus brought light to this blind man. He offered him the invitation to believe in him. In John 1, verse 12, it says, for as many as received him, he gave him the authority and the right to become children of God. And this is what Jesus was offering this blind man, this former blind man, that when he believes in the Son, if he believes in the Son of God, he will be accepted into the kingdom of God. He will become part of God's children. He will be received by God. The world may reject him, may cast him out, but God will accept him. God will give him his love. God will assure him, and God will be looking upon him as his child. And that was the light that brought much peace and joy and comfort to this former blind man, who now was able to see. And this was the light that the Lord Jesus gave as the light of the world. Now, this is something wonderful for us to think about today as we come to the end of our message. You know, the Lord Jesus is the light of the world, and he seeks to bring his light through his teachings, through his works, and through his invitation to believe in him. Now, what are the challenges that we can consider for ourselves this morning? And the first thing that we can consider is for us to do in response to him as the light of the world is to take time to learn the teachings of the Lord Jesus, to give time to it. You know, sometimes we may struggle with wrong understanding that can leave us fearful and discouraged about life. It can make us feel fearful of God. It can help us to not see things correctly, and it can really affect us. But when we take time to learn the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will find the enlightenment, the clarity that we need to be able to understand things correctly, to understand how God is like, what he is like to us, how he loves us and cares for us, to understand the problems in life, that it's not because it's God's punishment for us, to be able to find the sense of life and meaning and purpose through his teachings. And that's why we take time to learn the Bible every week for worship, because inside the Bible, there are wonderful teachings from the Lord Jesus that can help us to find the enlightenment and clarity we need to live well. So that's our first challenge, to take time to keep learning the Lord Jesus' teachings. Now, the second challenge for us is to take time to appreciate his works. As we think about how the Lord Jesus has worked in the lives of the people around us, and in fact, in our own lives, how we once were in darkness, you know, we had a sense of hopelessness, we were in fear or in discouragement. But when we came to faith, you know, there came light to help us to live differently. You know, he began to change our hearts. He began to give us a change of perspective. And he began to do a special work in us as well as in our families. And it just confirms and affirms his reality that he is truly the Son of God and that God is real. And it would be a wonderful thing for us to consider, to take time to reflect on his works in our life, to reflect on his works in our family's life, and to there appreciate his works and to be assured and to be affirmed of the reality of God in our life. And this is what will help us to make Easter a meaningful time to celebrate. And the third way, the third challenge that we can have to respond to the Lord Jesus is to accept his invitation to believe in him. For some of us, we have accepted this invitation to believe in him. And it just helps us to see how wonderful it is to have the light of the Lord Jesus in our life. That when we accepted this invitation to believe in him, we now become children of God. We now become part of God's kingdom. And there's a sense of belonging, a sense of hope, a sense of assurance that we can have. But for perhaps some of us, we may not have accepted that invitation to believe in him. We may be interested, we may be considering this for ourselves. Now the challenge is to be able to accept it. Receive the Lord Jesus as the Son of God, as your Savior. And it says in John 1 verse 12, to as many as receive him, he gave the right to be called children, to become children of God. And this is a wonderful invitation that is open for everyone and anyone who will receive him into their life. And so these are the challenges for us to consider as we think about the Lord Jesus as the light of the world. He gave light to his teachings, to his works, and to his invitation to believe in him. And our part is to keep learning his teachings, to appreciate his works, and for some of us, to receive and accept this invitation to believe. And if we are able to practice these things for ourselves, it will make Easter a more meaningful, a more special celebration amidst this challenging time that we have in the world. And I pray and ask that And I pray and hope that this is something that will bless your heart and this is something that you take time to think about for yourself. Well, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we come before you this morning just to thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world. How in his light he is able to enlighten us, to give us clarity, the understanding that we need to see who you are, to understand the problems in our life, and to be able to find a sense of life that nothing in this world can give. Father, pray and ask that you'll help us to take time to keep learning his teachings, to find the enlightenment, to take time to appreciate his works, to be encouraged and to be uplifted, and for some of us to receive this invitation to believe in him as the light, that we may become your children, to be a part of your kingdom. We pray and ask for your grace. Will you be with us this morning? In your Son's most precious name. Amen.